Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Christopher. With world-renowned psychic, spiritual teacher, and healer, Christopher Reburn. Visit Christopher on his website at www.reburn.org to schedule a private reading with him, view tour schedule, his spiritual audio CDs, and much more. Whether you are a spiritual beginner or a spiritual warrior, Conversations with Christopher is geared towards your continued spiritual learning and development. And now, please welcome Christopher Reburn.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. This is Christopher Reburn. Welcome to Conversations with Christopher. And hey, thanks for all the get well cards and the emails and phone calls. I appreciate it, everyone. I'm feeling much better. And thank you to everyone who's been so patient with me. I love you all. And here we are again today. And I'm working on scheduling more solo shows and less special guests because it seems like I want to do more solo shows, just me, you know, with you all, because that's what we used to do. And then we started getting all these special guests. And then I have to tell you, it's kind of me being lazy, because when I book a guest, I don't have to work so hard. I just let them talk, and I just lay back and look out the window. But really, we're planning some really magnificent shows coming up for you all, and I'm so excited to be able to share them with you very, very soon. If you want to connect with me for readings and spiritual consultations, you can log on to www.reburn.org. We are in the process of a major website overhaul. It's a lot of work, and it's taking longer than we thought, but everything is in process, right? Everything is in process. So how is everyone today? Hope is keeping warm and staying healthy and feeling well. The seasons are already beginning to change in the South. So, one of my favorite things about living in the country is being able to drink the water right out of the tap. Cold, crisp, delicious spring water. Yankee City. So I love the joys of living out in the middle of absolutely nowhere in farm country and beautiful mountains and things like that. It's certainly the place for peace. Just can't find that in a big city with all the constant traffic and everything. Everybody's so rushed and busy to do everything. It's very stressful. But living rurally, living out in the middle of nowhere, where you have very limited interactions with people, it certainly has its gifts and it certainly has its positive things. But let's get to the topic at hand. This is going to be a powerful show. We're going to be talking about how to prepare for the death of a loved one, of a family member. We're even going to talk about pets, because I've heard from some of you who've lost your beautiful furry babies lately. So we're going to try and include some information about pets today. We've got a lot to talk about in about a half an hour's time. Somebody requested that I do this topic. Now I want to tell everybody, you can always email me your topic suggestions. I do take them into consideration when we show, so don't think that you can't. The topic, especially those of you that have been listening for a long time and have been supporting the show for years, get those requests in. You can tweet them to me on Twitter or send them to me on Facebook or whatever. Just get those to me, because we're going to be scheduling a lot more shows in the upcoming weeks and days and months. When somebody requested that I talk about this topic today, how to prepare for the death of a loved one, I almost didn't do it, because it's kind of cliche. If you think of how on earth can you prepare to lose somebody that means the world to you, there's really no amount of preparation that can make it a decent experience, an easier experience. No. There's some things that we can do. There's a right way to deal with grieving, and there's a wrong way to deal with grieving in advance and at the time and in the aftermath. So there's a lot of different things to consider. While there isn't a time limit for grieving, there is rights and wrongs about grieving, and people really do it all wrong, and then it opens up a whole bunch of additional problems in their life with addiction, with massive dramatics in the family, family separations. So many different things can happen. So many different emotions we feel for the first time when somebody close to it crosses over. So death is never simple. It's never an easy thing, no matter how much you prepare. It's sad. It's emotional. It's difficult. It's upsetting on so many levels. So today we're going to talk about some things that I think are helpful. And the first thing that I want to talk about today is in relation to the topic of how to prepare for the loss of a loved one. Number one is to talk about it. Tell people, you know, make sure everyone in the family knows that this loved one will be passing soon. This will allow all family members and close friends to say their goodbyes on their time and on their terms. I don't agree with something that happened in my own family. Everyone, you know, when my grandma's sister was really, really ill, everyone was like, oh, don't tell, you know, let's not tell grandma, let's keep a secret. And I think that's selfish on the people that decided to do that, because don't underestimate the strength and the power of what people can handle, especially a mother who's raised a family, you know, especially a mother, especially somebody that's hard for her family. So I don't agree with keeping it from people. I think that everyone needs to know, especially when it's an immediate family member, to keep them in the dark and allow that person to pass and not give that other member of the family an opportunity to say goodbye. If that's not selfishness, I don't know how else to define it. So some people think they can handle it and not tell anybody, but you're doing a considerable disservice, including the loved one that's passing, and not giving them the opportunity for those precious end-of-life moments. Everyone should know when somebody in the family is going through a difficult time, especially if there's news that somebody is going to be passing soon. It's absolutely important. A lot of our families are in third, fourth, fifth generations, and people are really have a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a great-great-grandmother, and so on and so forth with the relationships. And there's always children. There's always young adults, young children in the family. Children need to know also. Don't tell children that grandpa or grandma or mommy or daddy or somebody close to the family is passing away. Give them the opportunity to say goodbye. Give them the opportunity to visit the loved one. Everybody should be coming together to visit the loved one. And never take for granted, especially if a loved one had an emergency visit, fly across the country and say, well, we've done this before, and they always get better. Well, don't take it for granted that this time will be like the last few times. You know, when somebody is not doing well, the best medicine for them is for their family to surround them in the hospital or at home. No greater recipe for healing and happiness, especially those end-of-life moments, than to spend it with family members and loved ones. And children can take the passing of a loved one very hard, very, very hard. It can scar a lot of children when they lose somebody that early on in life, especially if it's a parent or a grandfather. So you have to really tell the children and be honest with them, this is what's going to happen. And I think it's the way that we speak to children is important. Speak with clarity. Speak to the child as though you're speaking to an adult on some level. People have the ability to gloss over realities of certain situations with their family members and children. But don't forget where children have just come from. They've just come from the other side. They understand how to cope. They understand how to cope with the realities of life than many adults give them credit for. So, indeed, it's often the child who has these sights, that calm or tooth. Some people tell children the wrong things when a loved one is passed. I'd be telling a child that the loved one has gone away or is sleeping. This white lie, that can make a child afraid of going to bed if they believe that the person has gone away or for a week or for a walk or a holiday when they haven't. The sugarcoating reality can make hate you, resent you, distrust you, and including other family members as well. So I think everyone needs to be honest with people around them, but use answers in an age-appropriate way. For example, if your child is very young and asks, "Why did my grandmother die?" You could say that the grandmother or grandfather had a naughty boo-boo in his head, or he was very poorly. He didn't get better. His body stopped working. He died, and he rests in a very special place. And when this person is old enough, mature enough to understand, you can say that the boo-boo in the head is a brain tumor. And the place that he or she rests is called heaven, whatever you want to call it. And grandmother, granddad loves you very much. These are very important things. Children can ask a lot of questions in young adults, and I don't believe that they mean to be morbid. They are just very curious about different things as they're getting older. So respond faster than emotions. And that's hard sometimes. If a young adult or a child asks what happens after a person dies, be honest. And say if the body is buried, it goes through a stage called, you can talk about decomposition. It ends because some children will ask questions about that or about cremation. So encourage anyone, all loved ones, to talk about any aspects of losing a loved one with the family. And always have children open in the family that really wants to talk. Be there for them and try to be there for yourself in the process. There's a lot of people. Some of us have small families, some of us have big families, some of us have family members in different continents and different across the country. So it's not always easy for someone to just hop on a plane at the last minute and pay, in some cases, hundreds or thousands of dollars in money that a lot of people have to fly home. Some people just can't do it. So for those people, if they want to be there, they'll be there, okay? People that don't show up and always have an excuse, if they want to be there, they would be there. There's no excuse when somebody is near death. There's no excuse. There's no amount of money. It's when you start selling things. That's when you start doing things that you wouldn't normally do to try to get yourself back to be with your family. I think it's good to keep people informed on email and texting and telephones and, social media and stuff. But sometimes that can be overdramatic, and that can be a great strain. And some people don't really want to talk about it or focus on it at all. But just remember that any kind of loss affects everyone. And everybody needs to stay connected on the same wavelength. And be very clear when you're posting on social media. Be very specific. Don't leave any room for rumor, or don't leave any room for people to start believing what they want to believe. Be very sincere. Be very to the point. There's nothing better to do than to spend time with a loved one when you know that their time here is limited. That's when you're supposed to really spend time with them and focus and just spend time. The people that tend to have regrets are the people that weren't there. And, they'll be the front row at church crying, hysterically. But those tears are more guilt tears than tears of sadness, because it really stings when somebody passes away and you know you could have been there. You know you should have been there, but you weren't there. It's very hard to focus. And it's especially difficult for twins and triplets when one dies and one stays on. A tremendous something called survivor's guilt that really does take over. And I know a lot of you have experienced that. We've talked about that with a lot of you. So sit and talk to your loved one as much as possible. If the loved one is able to receive phone calls, then call them. If you're not able to be there right at the time, focus on that. You're listening to Conversations with Christopher. I am Christopher Reburn, and I'm so, so thankful for you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here for always. So many of you have been listening since the very first show in 2007, and here we are. Damn. all these years later, still doing it. Thank you for listening, because I see the numbers. If we didn't have what we have listening, I wouldn't do the show. I thank you all for the participation and for keeping on the air all these years, because without an audience, it would be useless to do this. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's important to tell people, especially if they're near death, that you will miss them, and say I love you often, and say it like you mean it. And remember how they respond. Nothing. I don't think there's anything more important than those three words, I love you. And it's something that you can hang on to in the future when those days get tough and you really miss loved one. Be honest with the loved one who is passing. If you're scared to lose them, if you're confused, if you're emotional, if you're sad, if you feel like your life is, the rug is being pulled out from under you, tell the loved one that. And they may just tell you some things that will ease your mind and will help the process a little better. It's good to be very vocal toward the end, because people really regret not saying certain things or being there. You know, one of my biggest regrets was allowing work to take over my life. And I had spent almost 2 or 3 years away from visiting my family. And then my grandfather passed, and it had been 22 months since the last time that I had seen him, because the readings were booked, everything was busy as it is now, and I just chose to work and not go home to my family, and I really regret that now. You can't take that back, you know, when it's done and over. So it's good to do what you need to do in the time that it's available. If a loved one pretends that he or she isn't dying and everything is going to be okay, realize that this is a defense mechanism and is misplaced hope. And it's important to be receptive to the one's approach to death. But don't let this fantasy cause tension and problems for you and other family members. This may be the one time where it is important to not play along, but to make it clear in a kind way that things are not going to be all right, and much time can be wasted pretending otherwise. So it's important, especially when dealing with a loved one's wishes and spending time. Those are all very, very important. I think it's good to talk about memories. You know, if your loved one is in a hospital room or in hospice or at home, gather family members in the room and talk about old times together. Everyone has a special memory. Everyone has a special story of a loved one when they were happy and remembering those times. It is a very peaceful memory to look back on, especially when your loved one is surrounded by family. And that person really gets a good idea of how loved they are and how, you know, admired they are. And what could be better than having your family there when needed the most? Some people don't say everything that they want to say. Sometimes that there's unfinished business. And say whatever you want to say, and make sure you say everything that you want to say while you have the time. And don't think that you can come back to the hospital tomorrow and your loved one is still going to be alive. That might not be true. So say everything you need to say in the moment, right now. Very, very. Some people think, well, he'll get better, she'll get better, and tomorrow you go back and they're gone. That's hard. That's very hard. So always in the moment. It's hard to deal with everything when you're looking at a loved one who's toward the end of their life. Looking into hospice, looking into alternative care and nursing homes, this is all a very depressing moment, and not just for you, but for a loved one, because, of course, nobody ever imagines growing up that they're going to spend their final days rotting. It's sad. Back in years and years and years ago, we never used to send family members to nursing homes. We would do whatever we could at home to help them and not abandon them, although some people do need the help of professional caregivers. But some people just feel they get to be a certain age and their parents are a certain age, just ship them off to a nursing home. You know, it's awful. My grandmother's in a nursing home. She shouldn't be there. The fact that she's there, it's a prison. But when you have no control over a situation and other people make decisions, you just have to sit back and hope everything works out. It's just very disappointing and discouraging when you see somebody coming to the end of their life in a nursing home. And I feel so bad for my grandmother because in the nursing home she's in, there's very few people that even know the name. There's very few people there that are even with it, you know, and she has to deal with that when she's, you know, very with it. If you're hearing those cheep, cheep, cheeps in the background, they are my baby chickens. I have 4 baby chickens. I posted a lovely video on Facebook. They hatched 4 days ago, so they're really, really lovely. They're finding their voice. They're finding everything, and it's anybody that really wants to release anxiety, release depression, release a lot of heavy emotions, raise chickens. Okay, hatch you some chickens, because I'm telling you, it puts life back in your life. It puts life back in your house. It's not easy when somebody passes and then you've got to make the arrangements for the funeral. That is really when reality sets in. You know, when my grandfather passed away, which is why I wrote my book, Holidays in Heaven, I knew he was dead. I knew he had passed. He came to me moments before he passed, so I knew that it was legitimate that he was dead. But one of the things that I forgot where I was going with this. Anybody else having a lot of senior moments lately? I'm telling you. I don't know where I was going. Hopefully that will come back. But making the funeral arrangements, the burial arrangements, is very difficult. Oh, yes. Okay. What I was going to say, I wish we had an hour. I have so much more to talk about today, guys. I knew that my grandfather had passed away and stuff, but the sobering effect was going into the church and seeing the urn in front of the church. It's like, wow, okay, he really is in there. He really isn't coming back. Those are the moments that wake up and you deal with reality, and it sucks. We have to care for ourselves. When somebody passes away, pets especially, there's a wide variety of emotions that will sweep over you. Some emotions may only happen once. Some may revisit. A lot of different emotions: anger, fear, worry, unfairness, resentment, exhaustion, hope, joy, everything at the same time, despair. There's no right or wrong way to feel. And you may find that some emotions cloud your ability to think clearly. It's important to have a support system of people that really do get you, people that understand you, people that want to help you get through this. And one of the things that's important is it seems like when a loved one passes away, everybody supports the loved one that remains. You know, like if a wife died or a husband died or a grandmother, grandfather, everybody supports the surviving spouse. But that stops after a few weeks. It's like everybody's there for that loved one to help them get through the initial stages, but a month or two later, those people have moved on with their lives, and now that person is alone through the worst moments trying to get through. Because the worst moments of grief, they don't come early. They will come weeks after it really sets in, after you can't talk to this person on the phone anymore, you can't see them anymore. After some time has passed, it really does set in that this person really is not coming back. And it's good to have a support system of people that can help you. Some people can heal very quickly. Some people can talk very quickly. Some people have different ways of healing. It's okay to cry. It's okay to talk about the person. It shows your child, it shows your family that you never forget about that person, and it's okay to cry. It's okay to express your feelings. And remember that people grieve in different ways. Friends, you're listening to Conversations with Christopher. I am Christopher Reber, and you can check me out online at www.facebook.com. www.reburn.org You can also check me out on Facebook and on Twitter for more inspiration and updates. You know, it's good to look back at the memories. It's good to remember the good times. It's if a person has a very traumatic ending, a car accident, or, you know, God forbid, a murder or something like that, those are hard. Suicides, those are harder. Those are difficult. Those leave a lot of unanswered questions. Doesn't always allow the grieving process to start as quickly as it would in other cases. You may find it easier to put things away that may be too hard to see. You know, it could be a pair of shoes from the person. It could be a piece of clothing, a favorite book. Take them out when you feel as though you can handle it, but keep their memory alive with you, just the same. And I think that I think that it's okay to admit that you're struggling. And if you feel you need some help or some guidance, that's okay too. You know, getting some counseling, getting a little bit of spiritual therapy before a loved one passes away can also prepare you. And after, it's just very necessary. And to continue seeing the counselor even after the loved one passes away. And get your feelings out. Focus on your feelings. Don't be embarrassed to share your feelings. Some people feel, oh, I can't cry because my mom and dad told me that was weakness. You can cry as much as you want. You know, crying is a wonderful and a beautiful healer that leads the way for clear and conscious thinking. When you have a cry out and can release a lot of emotions like that, and then look right back and do it again. So those are some things to think about. I got some upcoming shows I want to tell you about. There's only a couple. I'm confirming right now. So in the next week or so, we'll have more updates. April show is coming a lot to me. April 3rd, I'm going to have my friend Melissa Rodriguez on the show. God, Miss Thing is just breaking hearts wherever she goes. She's got a wonderful story to share. She's had very successful gastric bypass surgery, and we're going to talk about that and the journey that she's led that led her to the surgery. She's lost a ton of weight so far in the aftermath. We're going to really talk about that and different things about weight gain, weight loss, and stuff like that. We're going to talk to Melissa April 3rd. Coming up next Tuesday, it's time to have Andrea back again. We're going to be talking about life before and after House of Darkness, House of Light, which is going to be really quite good. We're going to get really deep into Andrea's head and how she wrote the books, why she wrote the books, the process of writing the books, and now the process of putting the books into screenplays. We've got lots of really good shows coming up. I wanted to mention those two. I'm going to be doing shows later this month on uncovering your hidden abilities, because a lot of you have asked me to talk about that, ways to uncover, you know, if you are psychic, if you are a healer, ways to uncover who you are spiritually, why you are, and what is expected of you by the universe, spirit, and the angels. And lots more is coming up. In April, we're going to celebrate 11 years on the air. Is it 11 or 12 years on the air? So I'm going to do something very special in April. We're thinking of doing like 11 or 12 shows in a row. So like 11 or 12 days in a row of straight shows, which is going to be very something because we've never done that before. Friends, I want to say thank you for listening. And again, thanks for all the get well wishes and thanks for the support. You all just keep me going. I appreciate all of you. And thank you for the support, for the friendship and for the energy and for all the love and support, because you all make it worthwhile. You know, you all make the journey a lot of fun, exciting. You make me feel very special. Whether you're new to me or if you've been on the Christopher Love train for years and years and years, just thank you for being a part of us. Thank you for being a part of today. Thank you for making memories with me today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, take care of each other. And you can read about me on my website at reburn.org. And you can read all about me and all that good stuff and what I'm up to. But until next time, I love you all so very much. And check out my YouTube channel and join Facebook for more information. I love you all. Take good care. And until next time, Take care. One love. Bye for now.